Yeah, it comes.
I just got my hearing aid, so I need to sit way up yonder.
There you go.
Mitra, are you ready?
A Brea City Council meeting on Wednesday, April 13, 2022 at 7:15 p.m. to order. And may I get a roll call, please?
Ladine here.
Potter here.
Ichari here.
Kasky here.
Thank you. Before we get started, I want to make a public apology to the community, to the council, and to guests of our city for last month's meeting. And there was a situation of out of order, disruptive behavior. And I just want to make it clear for any future disruptions that may occur to the council meetings that are disrespectful to the council and its time here. That there is a process that will take place, and we will obviously give whoever is disrupted the opportunity to correct their behavior. If not, we will stop the meeting. We will contact the police department. We will ask for that person to be removed from the building. And depending upon the severity of the disruption, we have the potential of citing them for trespassing. And so I just want to give a public apology for that behavior and trust that we will do things in the future to maintain a respectful professional environment for our community. And then we will open a public comment. So we have this time here for public comment. As everybody knows, you get about 5 minutes to provide your public comment. If there are questions, they will be responded to, but they'll be responded to in next month's council meeting in writing so that you'll have that response in writing. And at this time, we can open public comment to Sherry Wilson.
Oh, I'm first?
Yes, you are.
Sherry Wilson, 710 East Main. I just put maybe on there, but I do, on your point you just made, so is that like a first warning, or is there, you know, I mean, it's going to be like smack, that's it, if you have, you know, where that situation happened. It was frustrating, I think, for everybody because it was an intense meeting. And so that would be nice to have clarification if that's, you know, because you were both kind of arguing back and forth. And so
it was very
that would
difficult.
Be interesting, you know, to have a little more clarity on that. But
well, I can tell you that this is the warning.
Okay.
This here is the warning.
So,
and so any future incidences of that nature will be dealt with.
So everybody that's on right now will be aware of that. What if you were, you know, he didn't know that. I mean, I'm just saying it's
important.
Okay.
It's open to the public. Yeah, it can be viewed by anybody in the public.
Okay.
And it's,
I understand
and a letter has been sent. So it's been addressed by a letter.
Okay. On just a comment on the meeting last month about the building. And I found it interesting that there really wasn't any comments from council. Kay Achari made some comment. You made a comment. Do you guys discuss that any other time? I mean, the actual goings on and the choices that are made as a group, or was that all the comment that was made about the hearing? And basically, was it considered a hearing to okay the housing, the public hearing is what I'm talking about. I mean, is that discussed? Any other time?
We receive information all along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes time to make a decision, typically we've got months of information.
You've already kind of made your choice.
Or to not back it up. Okay. So we kind of know what we have to do and what we can do and what we can't do.
Okay.
And so we have that information ahead of time.
It just seems very closed when we come to the meeting and feel like it hasn't really been discussed totally, and that was the clarity that I wanted to know about.
For the most part, that's why we do the public hearings. It's because we want to take in the community's thoughts and opinions. We want to be aware of those when we make our decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So we come into it with the knowledge of the laws and the regulations and municipal codes and all that information, and then we filter what the community is saying through that, and
But at that meeting, it sounded like you just said you had already had your discussion and made up your mind.
We don't
basically
discuss anything. We can't
you've already kind of made up your mind because of the month's history of following through with the process.
We have a lot
so,
of information.
Okay, so but on this side of the stage, it just seems like, whoa, there was no comments, nobody had any questions, and it just was I, except for Kay Achari. Thank you, Kay. So I just wanted some clarity on that because it just seemed like we don't see that side of it being the citizens, and all of a sudden the decisions made and they're, you know. So anyway, that's just my, that was my question and comment. So I'm done. Thank you.
Next person in public comment, Jay Disbro. Sir.
Yeah, Jay Disbro, 515 East Main Street in Yamhill. Thank you for this opportunity to speak to the mayor and the council. And I'm speaking for myself as a private citizen. And I'm speaking in regard to my request for a police town hall. The 2021-2022 budget allocated $730,851 for the general fund, of which $509,236, or $500,000, or 70%, was allocated to the police department, leaving only $221,615 for city administrative services. I feel there is a continuing need to have a town hall. I see in March financial statement that the police service fee is at 63.7%. According to the city administrator, the outstanding amount is approaching $4,000, which is about 800 payments, an average of about 89 payments a month, which tells me that 89 ratepayers out of whatever the total number is probably around 20%, a significant number of concerned citizens. So I think that is something to take note, that there are more ratepayers out there concerned about this, but begrudgingly paying their fee. I understand the city administrator has recommended a water town hall, given the financial and other issues facing the city. An overall state of the city town hall should be considered, which would include police, water, and other significant issues. In regard to the police statement, year-to-date police expenditures are 66%, which is below the 75%, considering we're three quarters of the way through the year. And that's very good to see. Several people I've talked to feel that it's time to get a quote from the sheriff's office as a comparison. So I request the city to obtain a quote for the from the sheriff to be considered at the upcoming budget committee meetings. The cities of Yamhill and John Day recently decommissioned their police departments due to funding issues. Will the city of Yamhill follow? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And Mr. Davis, Robert Davis.
Yes, speaking of it as a concerned citizen and myself living at 212 North Maple Street, I have six questions. They don't need to be answered right away. They can be answered at a later point, but I just wanted to bring them to the council's notice. And it's my belief when there was already an official moratorium on adding any additional water meters to our water system, why did the council during an official meeting on February 9th, 22 approve the Spence property to be added to our water system? Second, with that said, since this official moratorium is still in force, how does this official moratorium affect the 57 new homes approved by the city council on March 9th of 22 and the 62 homes developed in 2020? Third question, how is the city going to find the additional water users? Spence says that are using water from our main line without any water meters as he was for 20 years. Fourth question, do any of the 25 water users not in any water district using water from our main line from between the water plant and North Olive Street have an agreement with the city? Fifth, why are the 10 outside water districts not included in the newly proposed levels until level 4? And sixth, why was there no after action report done and posted on the city's website after the last year's water crisis and levels had ended? So I'll let you deduce or discuss or get back to me with those answers. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And we have Miss Amy Brewer.
Yeah. We're a little late this year getting everything going for the Beverly Cleary event that's happening. We've had to bump the date up. So we've had a little bit of a bubble for us. We're bumping the date up to May 7th instead of May 14th because May 14th is the alien parade in McMinnville. And yes, and the aliens would totally abduct and overshadow Beverly Cleary. There's no way anybody would come to our event.
Yeah.
And so, because yeah, the whole valley and all of the kids programs, parents and all that stuff will be there. So we are jumping it ahead. We're all trying to figure out how to set the date to be a green date that would happen every year and that we can all just plan accordingly, like ahead for it. So if we started on we have our Beverly Cleary writing, coloring and illustrating contest. That starts on April 12th, which is always going to happen because that's Beverly Cleary's birthday, and it will open up, and then they'll have they'll have 3 weeks to turn it in, or 2.5 weeks to turn it in for a May 2nd or May 5th, somewhere around there, depends. And the kids will turn it in, and then our event will be the first weekend in May, which is also Mother's Day. But we think that that would be something in the future would also be a very positive thing that we can connect. I know this is historical literacy, but historical literacy events with a Mother's Day tea and possibly getting things in to our historical homes up here. So we have a lot of really great ideas to just keep moving with the Beverly Cleary thing. We've got like 4 or 5 themes ahead, which would be something each year. This year, our theme kind of expanded. Again, we showed you last meeting about the dog park idea. And so we've kind of went ahead and gone with that. We have our Yamhill Cultural, the YCCC, grant, and that pays for the event day, our prizes for our contest, our activities that we're going to have in the park. We really want to go forward with the bouncy house. We talked to the Carlton, you know, we're going to have the liability forms. We're going to have make sure that, you know, it's a safe and feasible thing to do. We haven't had any accidents with the bouncy house at any of the events. This summer, we talked to Heidi and all the events that they have at Carlton Fun Days. They have a bounce house. They say no one comes if you don't have a bounce house. That was one of the things that actually the YDA had purchased it because of it's something that brings the communities together. And I'm telling you, I've worked in schools and we have bounce houses all the time. All the parents line up, sign their name and say, we've got insurance, we're liable, our kid can go bounce in the house, you know, and so you know, we feel that it's still a beneficial, you know, really exciting opportunity, and it gets people coming. So we're having face painting and the bounce house, and we have the literary walking tour. We have ice cream, and we're also working with another a grant opportunity. Tomorrow we're meeting with the Ford Foundation, and we're hoping to move forward on getting more resources and funds for the dog park. And so I think we laid out plans for you guys last time, and we're going to just like keep continuing on to the planning. So I think we're excited. We did a field trip, and if anybody's gone to the dog park in Newburgh, it's a really great, beautiful dog park that's not fancy. It's very humble looking, but it fits our farm, you know. I think our farm aesthetics really well, and the dog park will look back on the Beverly Cleary farm and house. So it really just seems like such a great fit. We're running into the complications that we're going to talk with Jason tomorrow and Friday about the parking situation, which he did say that they have that gravel park, and that he said he would be able to clean that up. But we just have to figure out how to have it open for the event. And for the future, you know, people get off work, they want to go take their dogs there. So how are we going to like move that opportunity? Do we need to create a new road? You know, how much more funding do we have to try to get to do that? You know, so I'm willing to find the grant resources for that. So we have a big grant that we can apply for next year by March, but it was too late this time. That's actually for improvements of city parks and rural park zones for communities. And I think we would really fit well in that, and hopefully get around the funds of $10,000 maybe for that source. And then that could do a little bit more of our exciting ideas. But
yes.
So does anybody have any questions?
Can public ask questions?
Please.
Yeah. Well, when this was brought up last month, I was questioning who's responsible for this dog park 10 years down the road, or five, or even the first year. Is it the group, the Amhill group?
Maintenance?
Yeah.
Well, I would assume that we're working within the city as city improvements, and especially for this one park. I can find out more about the maintenance, what Newburgh does. We just kind of have a vision and an idea, because it is community land. The Yamhill Downtown Association is trying to figure out ways to bring community and opportunities and to make a more viable living life,
I understand that. I just was wondering.
So that's
responsibility is going to be to clean.
Well, it would be. Well, it's the responsibility of the dog owners to clean up after their dogs. And, you know, that will have, I mean, that you have other people, you know, around there that say, hey, take care of your dog. I mean, it's a pretty awesome looking park up there with a skate park, which we don't want to do, and they have a remote control car thing, which we do want to do, but in a smaller scale. And then maybe like a small kid park space too. So we really have a lot of ideas to develop that park a little bit more, to bring more people in to the park. And we think they've got the dog zone. There's the walking trail, mm-hmm. and there's the open spaces for baseball and kickball.
So
and
they're
all
looking
that stuff.
To have it behind like the old recycling center.
So it follows where, yeah, on the old recycling center, and you just take the road that goes out to the water plant, and that goes by the backstops of the two things. And it's actually before that, the road goes this way, and right here would be the dog park, And so what we're wanting to do on this event date is to invite our community members, and, you know, we will have a sign, a non-permanent sign that will be like the other ones we have in town of the walking tour. And we're going to have two more for the story trail. That is the literacy story trail for the dog, for Ribsy's Dog Park, which is what we first planned. And then it got bigger. And then there's a character, Emily's Runaway Imagination, which is the story about Yamhill from Beverly Cleary's perspective of how, when she grew up. And so we just keep getting bigger in our thoughts of how we can promote that. So it would just go right back there, and then that way it would be accessible to wheelchair. It would be accessible for people to be close to a little parking place. And then there would be a trail that would attach to that. That's what we would like to move toward, is a trail that would attach to the other trail that walks along the river. So we're just wanting to connect some of those things and to make it just a little bit more picturesque park. And then there'd be a play zone for small children and the little remote control car spot.
2023 Mother's Day is on the 14th. So
okay.
It jumps around every year.
Yeah, it does. And which we would like the extra days for that, but this year now we're jumping up to a little
bit. So the first weekend would be good every That was my question
for you.
Yes.
What's this gonna do to the people who, like myself, for years have used that as take my dog for a walk anyway? You start putting in, you mentioned radio cars. Will I be liable if my dog eats one?
Well, you know, the remote control car thing, you know, I don't think it's not what we had. I also saw something like this in Hood River for their, how they, on their walking trails, out, that is just an aesthetic, beautiful thing. And everybody walks these tours, and then it goes along the parks, and it goes along some industrial, buildings and businesses and things. And, it's just mounds of dirt. It's nothing, anything. It's not a big, huge remote control park. It's mounds of dirt. And we thought it would be an easy thing to do with low income and, you know, just bulldozers or shovels. You mound up the dirt and you have like a trail. It could actually be, you know, kids riding their bikes on it, not junior high kids riding their bikes on it. It's made a, like, this high, so it just goes up about like this high, like knee high, and it's more for kids that are toddler size or younger size going on a walk with their parents to you know, the dog park with their dog, and then they're going to play baseball. You know, just we're thinking, if we're
this
getting
is a picture of the 50s.
It is. You know, I'm sorry, that's why I moved here. It is a picture of the 50s. We came here because of Derby Days. I was in the I had been a part of the Lavender Festival for several years, and it was here in Yamhill. And my house burnt down in McMinnville, and I said, "Well, works for me. I want to live in Yamhill because the Derby Days, it's the classic place to grow up your children." And I have, and I feel like, you know, my kids know the librarians down the street. They've walked to T&E. They walk to get the mail. I think Yamhill is an awesome, wonderful place to raise children and to have community. And we're just, the Yamhill Downtown Association is all about bringing little walking environments or things for people to actually do in Yamhill and not go out to McMinnville and go out to those other places. We want to have some of our own little sense of community. Later on, we want to have music, and we want to have some things where we just continue to build our 50s style of, you know, growing up. And I think that's what we just want to do more of. So I'm sorry. So I think I went over time.
Oh,
but yeah. So all the
you make me look good then.
Yeah. Well, all of our promotional material, we went with some promotion people, just got up this like Wednesday, and I think it's being blasted and it's getting to you guys. And then I have some papers here, and I'll get more to you tomorrow. So we have real posters, but they're being printed. So like I said, everything's just a little crunched. We're going to force this thing together because we have to, because we got grant money for it. And the one thing that we've did through COVID is the online story thing, and it works great. We get kids from all over, from Texas, Tennessee, and local. So yeah, it's kind of a neat thing.
That's excellent. Can you put a link to that?
Yeah, though there's a new, so we just have these, we have these people that we'll get all the links to, and it's going to the Yamhill Downtown Association. There's going to be a landing page. It is public, but I'm going to have to get Kara to get that to you, and then from there you can get to the contest where you download the color page contest, and you download from story contest, you know, on how they can enter. They can also just write it, but all the directions are on there. We're using a local artist as well. So Kimberly, and she's the one who's drawing up the vision of the dog park. And she's also had experience drawing communities and like from her college experience and stuff like that, in towns and stuff. So she's really a great resource.
So if we want information on these events, to go either on the Yamhill Downtown Association or to go to the city website.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yep. And then share them with your friends. And if you see it, you know, give it that like and thumbs up. And yeah,
I'm still not sure.
And we would love if all of you would come to our event on the 7th, so that we can share with you a little bit more of our vision of the dog park and what kind of funds that we need to make for it. Yes.
And for just because I didn't get clarified who's going to be responsible really for it, yeah, down the road 10 years from now, if there's still a dog park and you guys are off and gone. And
yeah, I think
the city's responsible.
It's on city property. It's ultimately city's responsibility. So we're hoping that the community gets involved and supports it.
Okay. Yeah. And I'll find out from that park what it takes to you know, keep the upkeep on it. Mm-hmm. It's really lovely. You know, they have little places for you can sit underneath with picnic tables and have space under there to, you know, let your dog run in the gated area, and which is so far away from the trails, and you won't even be bothered. You could have these people over here, and then some. Yeah. It is a really big area. And then, you know, it still allows for the natural trail hikers, as well as, you know, we can move the loudness. And really, there's not like a lot of people that do that. But, you know, but we will be having one theme, the mouse and the motorcycle, with them.
Yeah. Thank you, Amy. Lots of good information. Is there any other persons for public comment? At this time, we'll go ahead and I have to open up for online voting. Is there anybody with a hand raised online?
I don't see anyone.
Okay. But this time we'll close public comment, and just a personal comment. We've got now movie night too that we're doing regularly. So our whole 50s theme for our communities is building, which is really cool. Do you want to tell us about the movie night real quick?
Movie nights? They're in the planning.
They're in the planning? Okay.
Yes, we'll have dates later.
Okay.
Do you want the other events going on too?
We got lots of events.
Yeah, give it to us.
Well, this on the event site from the fire district, we have Easter egg hunt coming up this Saturday at the park. We are planning movie nights. I know there'll be a movie night the Friday night before Derby Days in the park. And then on July 23rd, there is a band and hamburgers, hot dogs as a thank you from the fire district for the community support and our levy that we did a couple of years ago. So I know there will be a band there from 7 to 10, yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. Free hamburgers, hot dogs. There may be some raffle prizes that going on too. The ghost crew will be very nice raffle prizes. So that's some of the events happening.
Thank you, Chief. That's exciting. We're coming alive again. We're getting out of COVID. It's nice to see. All right.
No mask.
No mask. All right, public comment has been closed. We'll move into presentations. We've got the Water Advisory Committee.
Change hats. On the Water Advisory Committee, we've met. We met the end of March. We're continuing to look at things. We're kind of waiting for the city to catch up on recommendations that we've submitted. The Water Advisory will be doing a work session at the end of this month with the city of McMinnville. They have asked to come back to the table and revisit what they might have to offer. And so the committee will be meeting with them to have a discussion just to get what they're thinking about and gather some information and to look after down the road. So that's where we're at on that. One thing I did notice on the things before council tonight that the Water Advisory did submit, it came back from legal. I think there's some clarifications that need to be made on that, what came out. I noticed some job titles did change and they were consistent throughout. At the moment, we put the job titles we've submitted for what was here presently. You know, unless the council's making changes to those job titles. Water Advisory, if I'm wrong, I think they need to be spelled out who that's going to be. If we need to add some more names or something, or titles, that's fine. That needs to be clarified before it moves forward.
Will you be available when we come to that portion of the agenda?
I will. And I know the Water Advisory has not met to review what legal came back with yet. And I don't know.
We got to read it.
I don't know if the committee's yet. I haven't met the committee to see, but we have not had time to review that as a committee.
So when it came back, it didn't go back through you before it came to us?
We just got it the 30th of March, so we have not had a meeting, and we won't have a meeting until the 26th of April. So
you're wanting us to move forward, but if we approve or disapprove whatever tonight, it doesn't give you the opportunity to review before it's approved. So then if you want to make changes, it's got to come back around again.
Do you see anything?
Do you have any recommendations?
I didn't catch the title stuff.
The only thing I seen was the titles in there.
So just the titles of the names, so we can address that tonight,
yeah,
and resolve that, yeah, and then move forward with it.
Yeah.
And I guess the ordinances are for everybody, not water districts included. Same stages for everybody, not different.
Yeah. So what was presented would affect outside users also.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll add that to the discussion when we get to that item. Thank you, though.
A clarification. So tonight is a first reading. So regardless of what you decide to do tonight, there will be a second reading in May, and that will be the effective date.
Perfect.
Regardless.
And potentially a public hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That helps. Thank you.
I did put a public hearing there. You may have a public hearing at your first or your second reading either.
Okay. Excellent. Anything else from the Water Advisory Committee at this point?
Readjusting the rates differently.
We are talking about adjusting the rates, looking at rate schedules and where we're at as a city, what we're paying, what our cost is to produce water. Are we meeting? Are we even breaking even? And so we're reviewing rates, looking at those numbers.
And have you gotten the material for the rates study that was done 3 or 4 years ago?
Looked at that. That's outdated. It needs to be readjusted. And, you know, what we're paying today cost-wise for to produce water is not what we're paying for what we can tell in looking at the current rate schedule.
It's a 5 year, so it expires this year.
Okay, that's good to know. So we need to do it again.
So we're looking at options, and we will have a proposal coming out of the Water Advisory, maybe some suggested recommendations on how to revise that rate schedule that is maybe more fairly throughout the community. So we'll be looking at that. We've also looking at and have asked, and we're working on a spreadsheet to track the water for the last 5 years, the intake to the plant, what was treated, what went out, what was used, what was the loss, trying to graph that so we have a better idea of what we're actually using, what was actually lost, kind of along the conservation plan. We're still waiting for some information back from
some of that may not be available.
Well, we're trying to get as much as we can do, and you know what's going forward to have that data, you know, with the in-stream flow now to have that data so we know, so we can know right where we're at and better evaluate things. Perfect. You know, especially when we, if we get into another drought situation, we can have that data to really, really know where we need to go level wise and not grow. So we're working on that.
Great. Thank you very much. And the Yamhill Neighborhood Association.
Yes, I'll put on my other hat, Robert Davis for Yamhill Neighborhood Association. Myself and all of our members would like to sincerely thank the board, the commissioner, the mayor for the job you do, because I know it's not an easy job, but you guys stepped up and you're it. So, but anyway, I want to thank everyone for the job you do. And with that said, in an effort to foster an ongoing relationship and help the city with its public notices, YNA with its membership has offered to help the city with delivery of its notices. I know we talked about that, and Sharon suggested that last month, and we took her up on it. To deliver notices to all the city residents, we feel this would better serve our community in a timely manner to help the city get information they need out to the city residents and reduce any costs to the city in doing this. So it helps us get to know our neighbors and it helps the city as well. YNA will continue to present facts to the city council and mayor in an effort to strengthen our relationship, to provide factual information about upcoming council agenda items, in an effort to help the council make a more and better informed voting decision. YNA recommends that the city become more transparent in its accountability process. Questions that have been asked at previous council meetings should be answered in a timely manner and, at the very least, added to unfinished business to the meeting minutes so as to be answered at the next council meeting. Finally, in previously passed meetings with the city, YNA has suggested a savings process of $7 to $8 million or more by buying raw water from the city of Hillsboro and by installing a transmission line from Barney Reservoir approximately 3 miles to the city's water plant, and foregoing the Hillsboro drinking water connection, which would take 5 years to complete and millions of additional dollars. Finally, Mayor and Council members, YNA and its membership, again, wants to thank you for your time and effort to the city of Yamhill with your ongoing dedication and service to our community. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Yamhill Downtown Association, do you want to represent them an update, or have you covered it?
I think pretty much covered it, but we would like to maybe be a part of the firemen movie nights.
So, and maybe do like a, work together and do a music and a line dancing. Yeah, so that's one of our things that we would like to, I don't know if you, so I, we're thinking if the YDA works together with the fire department, then we can get grant funding or resources from our people. You guys get funding from your people, and then we can have two events going at one time. And if we do a line dancing, which was something we talked about, we wanted to get going before COVID, is to have up at Beulah Park and just to have some fun with that space. I think it was when the music was up there before, we had such a great time and we just wanted to continue that. And Yvette said it'd be a great idea to work together.
You don't have to wait till it gets dark to do the movie. So you got all this dead time that you don't have anything
true.
To do, right?
So
we can do line dancing
and then that way you get the people that you draw in, we get our people that we draw in for the, which were really small, but you know, but at the same time we're trying to listen to community members and trying to get more things that way. And that would draw in junior hires as well as, you know, the small children and stuff like that. So, which, yeah, all kids, you know, junior high and high school need to learn.
You might even consider inviting the aliens from McMinnville.
That's right. No, I think we should leave the aliens in Mac. So, yeah. So I like the throwback era. So, anyway, but maybe that's something that we can.
You give me your contact information. I will get it over to our
event planner.
Marcy.
And I think
do part of them. I don't do all of them.
Yeah. So the YDA still wants to do the, and they asked me to talk about the, they still want to do some August Friday nights. So some possible music community at nights in the back of the Larson House again. So those are good, but they were actually cumbersome on us and we need to kind of figure out how to raise funds for those a bit more. But the bouncy house was a draw. We always had more people than that.
Yeah. Bouncy house.
Thank you. All right, new business, a proclamation showing City of Yamhill support of Child Abuse Prevention Month, April 2, 2022, and the proclamation. A proclamation showing the City of Yamhill, Oregon support of Child Abuse Prevention Month, April 2022. Proclamation. Whereas child abuse is one of our nation's most serious public health problems, with scientific studies documenting the link between the abuse of children and a wide range of medical, emotional, and psychological and behavioral disorders. And whereas it is estimated that 1 in 4 children will suffer significant abuse before the age of 18, and annually over tens of thousands of Oregon children, 78,682 in 2020. Are reported to the Department of Human Services as having been abused or neglected, with 1,642 child abuse victims confirmed in 2020, in just 2020 alone. Although many cases go unreported, and this was especially true during the COVID-19 pandemic, when many children were isolated and away from the eye of the mandatory reports, and whereas the physical, emotional, mental, and financial impact of abuse falls on children of all ages and abilities who come from all economic, racial, and social backgrounds. And these crimes affect many more family members, friends, neighbors, and community. And whereas effective child abuse prevention efforts succeed because of partnerships created among state, local government agencies, schools, faith communities, civic and community organizations, law enforcement agencies, and the business community, while recognizing that feeling connected to community can be a protective factor against child abuse. And whereas the City of Yamhill is dedicated to stopping child abuse and supporting survivors and their non-offending families while working to prevent, whereas each of us has a role to play in stopping the problem of child abuse as part of the solution. By learning how to prevent, recognize, and report child abuse and supporting prevention, education, empowerment programs for children and youth. Now, therefore, we, the City of Yamhill, do hereby proclaim April 2022 to be Child Abuse Prevention Month. We affirm Yamhill, Oregon's commitment to creating a safer, healthier, more thriving community for our children and taking steps to help prevent child abuse through awareness efforts, prevention promotion, and trainings on responding responsibly. We encourage all citizens to wear blue on April 21st as a public statement in Yamhill in support of child abuse prevention. Further, we call upon all citizens to invest in the lives of children by learning what they can do to help stop child abuse through Juliet's House, a community resource, by visiting www.julietshouse.org this day, April 13th, 2022. Excellent, thank you. The city has been doing this for many, many years, and we do an annual proclamation for this prevention. And it is a very important thing to us as a community and as a city that we participate in. I know that the staff take great seriousness in this prevention program. And so I would request that the city and the community also be involved and take it very serious. And wear blue on the 21st. And show your support of this. Also, we have the blue pin wheels that you've probably noticed around town that the officers put around for us. We have those at City Hall. So if you are interested in putting one out in your yard or walking down the street and carrying it, you are welcome to come to City Hall and get one at your convenience. Thank you for that. New business, amendment to ordinance municipal code chapter 3.54 water conservation regulations, consider a public hearing and a first reading. So I do have this in front of me, and it is recommended that staff consider a public hearing and a first reading of this ordinance for an amendment to the municipal code regarding water conservation policy. There was a question about that was presented in the notes here about the change of all voluntary restricted items in Yamhill Municipal Code shall be mandatory. So how do they be voluntary if they're mandatory? That was a good question, and I believe it was answered. Next page. 20, number two. C1. Okay. And C1. All right, that would be in the level 3 water shortage declaration of mandatory restrictions, illegal acts. And it does state, and I'll just read it because it's not that long. And this was brought up as an objection by Paul Smoland, and he requested it to be changed in a handwritten public comment. Upon the declaration of level 3 water shortage, and until the time as the declaration of water shortage has been rescinded, all voluntary water restriction items listed in Yamhill Municipal Code shall be mandatory, where the restrictions of a level 3 water shortage conflict with the guidance in YMC, the restrictions of the level 3 water shortage shall control. So the rescinded water shortage has been rescinded. All voluntary water restriction items listed shall be mandatory. So when you go from a level 2 to a level 3, you're going from a list of voluntary things that we'd ask the city to voluntarily restrict to a level 3, where all those voluntary restrictions now become mandatory. So I don't know if that was clear for Paul and if I'm explaining it correctly. Yes, you don't know. Okay.
I believe you are. Okay. And you may want to open a public hearing if you want to ask for clarification. I'm not sure if he might be online or.
Will you see if Paul Smolin's online? And if so, he is?
So you want to open the public hearing first? So that
we will.
Yeah.
Okay. So council, we can discuss having a public hearing now. We can discuss offering a public hearing for next council meeting and giving actually the Water Advisory Committee an opportunity to go back through it. Because I have a few questions myself on it. What are your recommendations? What are your thoughts?
I have a few questions on it too, so.
Okay.
And they're wanting to view it first, then at least we get our questions.
Okay.
And we can add, we can Mr. Smolin's questions too.
So you're, so I'm clarifying what you're, what I'm hearing you say is that you're suggesting we send it back to the Water Advisory Committee, have them review it, review the changes, and maybe respond to or answer some of the questions that
if it clears
we,
up everything
we have,
or faster than us sitting here and talking about it, just to send it back or have, you know what I mean? Like
okay.
We can take care of it all at one time versus twice.
Answer all the questions
yeah.
up front. So when we, and are you recommending that we have a public hearing next month to reopen it up for the community?
Yes. If they want to submit more questions, if they have more questions. They want to review it, right? The Water Committee does.
I think it would be helpful for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have questions. I have questions. Mr. Smolin has questions. So
yes.
Who knows how, who else has questions?
Exactly. So those questions can be answered
that we,
by the Water Advisory Committee.
Go one more round with this. And
perfect.
Then, okay.
Perfect.
So just a point of order, you can have the first reading, make change, if you make changes between what's in the draft today and next month, then you need to have another first reading. I mean, you can have a first and second at the same time mm-hmm. if you have your public hearing. So that's an option to keep the momentum going. Or you can table this item until next month and simply have a first reading next month.
Okay.
Table it.
We've done those processes before, so that is good. Councilors Ichari, Councilor Haskey, your thoughts?
My only question would be if we table it and do the first reading next council meeting. So the second one would be the following council meeting?
So if we have a public hearing, we can do both first and second reading next month.
Okay.
Or we could do as you said, as you are saying, do a first reading and then a second reading.
Yeah, I'm just thinking we're already getting close to summer. So it's probably important to get it.
There is a small sense of urgency.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we just did a first reading next month, then we're looking at June.
Yeah.
And who knows what the weather's going to be like.
Exactly.
In June.
So you're talking about doing it open and then do a
public
hearing.
Do a public hearing, first and second reading next month.
So table it for today and then and send it back to the Water Advisory Committee with our questions and then of any available community that wants to address the Water Advisory Committee, who's meeting next week, right?
We don't meet until the 26th.
Okay.
But I will talk with the committee and maybe we will hold a special meeting. I don't want it to interfere with our meeting with city.
It would have to be after the MacWater Live meeting.
Because our MacWater
meeting. No, that's true. I wouldn't want you to do that either.
They said they needed an hour.
So, and it might take two or four of them.
Yeah.
I can ask the Water Advisory and we can meet prior to the next council meeting. Maybe we'll hold a special meeting.
Oh.
And just to address, if we could get everybody's questions. I know Paul's on the Water Advisory Committee with us. So like I said, none of us got together to address what came back from legal. So,
okay. So that give the public, since this just came out, if we did, that would give the public time enough for their questions and then do a first and second reading in the next one. Is that what you're saying?
Well, they could address their questions
yes.
with the Water Advisory Committee when they meet later
yeah.
this
last
month.
Tuesday of the month.
Well, it'd
be after that.
It'd be after that. So we're probably looking at maybe the
first
Tuesday in May.
Okay.
so they could address their questions with them, but also bring them to the public hearing at the next council meeting. Is that what you're?
I think that's what
I'm okay. All right. So I need a motion from council.
I make a motion that we table this until next month and send it back to the Water Advisory Committee.
Sure. And the public hearing.
And public hearing, first reading next at the next council meeting.
First and second.
First and
second. Sorry, second.
Can I get a vote, please?
Adine, aye.
Potter, aye.
Eske, aye.
Pichari, aye.
Excellent.
Mayor, I have a request that a smooth copy be made available to the public.
That a what copy?
To the hearing, so we have time enough to review it.
It'll be made available a week ahead of time for council, and probably it'll be made available at the Water Advisory Committee too. I don't know if they get theirs a week ahead of time too, but
usually a few days.
But you can get a copy of it anytime from City Hall.
Well, I mean a revised copy.
Oh, a revised copy.
Not the draft that we have tonight, because that's there are changes being made.
Okay, well that would be after the advice the Water Advisory and a week before the council.
Okay, as long as we can get a public copy for review.
So we'll have to keep that balance there for timeline. Okay.
Thank you.
We'll do our best. Thank you. C is executive recruitment and or restructuring and consider direction to staff. So at our executive session, we had a discussion. We couldn't make any decisions. Bring that here, but we had a discussion about the direction we want to go for. Since July of last year, we've had a vacant position in the city hall, which is a very valuable position of a city recorder. Our city recorder retired and it's been vacant, and it gave the city an opportunity to discuss, do we want to pursue a city administrator for the first time ever in the city's history? Or do we want to rehire a city recorder? And so we brought in an interim city administrator to kind of help us define what that would look like. Can the city afford it? Is it something the city can do? Would it be in the city's best interest to move to a more city administrator type management? So we've been doing all this research. Well, we've come to a place now where we've got information. We discussed a lot of this information in the executive session, and we now have to decide, how do we want to move forward? What do we want to pursue? What do we not want to pursue? Counselors, do you want to give your thoughts and opinions on what we discussed previously?
As to what we talked about, or kind of what we were going toward.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we will bring it into the city council portion of it. I think we're wanting to move toward a city administrator and try to give that a go versus city recorder, bring on more of the coverage, what that entails. So basically it would come down to putting the recruitment out there, what it's going to cost us, and who we can draw in as an applicant, and seeing what they can do through the processes. So I think it's, if you want to elaborate more, do you have anything?
Well, the affordability was a topic that was a hot topic for us. Can the city actually afford it? And I mean, if we just flat out said, you know, on where we're at this moment, all of us, I think, agree that the city can't afford a city administrator. So how could we juggle that, because we all juggle our budgets, right? How could we juggle that to make it work? Well, there's many options in place. Depending upon the quality of persons that we get to apply for the position, they will have certain sets of skills. If they have a certain set of skills that is valuable to the city that we might already be contracting for, we could then have that person do that skill or that task and eliminate a contracted type situation. For example, if they happen to have a certification for a DRC, which is something we're contracting for in public works. If they had a certificate for a DRC, we could eliminate a contract that we have currently for DRC. And that funding that we're contracting could go into providing for a city administrator. So we would balance and juggle the budget to accommodate that if we could find somebody that met those needs. If we couldn't, then we would turn around and make different decisions at that time. But I think we all agreed that moving forward was our desire. And so
moving forward
at this point, we need to get this going.
To decide whether you're going to have an administrator.
So
or
we need to basically tonight is
because it's been a year, almost a year. We need to.
So when Petra came on, my understanding was, you know, they had you as interim, but you were willing to take on the position if it opened up at a later date. That was kind of what I understood. Maybe not. Now that you've been here for 3 months, you're going, no, heck no, I'm out.
She has agreed to help us with the recruiting process.
Okay. So you aren't willing to stay at this point.
Because she'll be involved in the recruiting process, she wouldn't be able to be part of the recruitment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we're basing it off her suggestion also of where she stands with it right now.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So can I ask, not directly to Andrew McMullen, but what his statement said, that you guys were looking toward an administrator rather than a recorder. And I understand the value of this. And the cost involved, but I was just wondering how you came to that decision, if you don't mind sharing.
Why we think a city administrator would be more valuable to the city than a city recorder?
Yes.
Oh, I can give you multiple reasons.
Well, enlighten us.
So in a small town community, a lot of the staff have to wear multiple hats.
Yep.
They don't get to just be one thing. Sharon's a great example of that. She was hired to do grant writing. She's been tucked into all kinds of other different positions, such as the one she's doing now.
Right.
Multiple hats. So if we hire a city recorder, that's the hat they wear, right? If we hire a city administrator, they can wear a planning hat. They can wear a financial management hat. They can wear a DRC hat potentially. I mean, there's all kinds of different things that they can take on. And as our city structure now is, there would be three management staff, one city hall, one at public works, and one in the police department. And they answer directly to the mayor. They don't answer directly to a supervisor. So there's three managers that don't have an overhead supervisor.
Right.
So it puts a big burden on the council and mayor to manage the city. And that's not a position that a mayor should be in.
Yes, no, I understand. And I appreciate your clarification.
So how likely is it to find somebody that would have those other three hats?
We don't know until we get out there.
I mean, I'm just, in your world, you must be exposed to people that are in those positions. And would we even, by dumping those three hat buckets into one, is it even feasible to think financially that somebody would want to take that on?
So go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, because this is your job and this is, you know, you're exposed to it. Yeah, it's your.
Right. Okay. So a qualified city administrator, like the mayor said, will have come up from most likely they have a knowledge or a general knowledge of all the other departments,
mm-hmm.
Including, you know, the fiscal analysis country kind of brings it, or the fiscal experience that brings that all together. And often they often serve as the budget manager,
mm-hmm.
too. So inherently, when you have someone that's qualified, they're going to have a little bit deeper knowledge of all the departments as opposed to one person representing a recorder position. But more than that, they come from different experiences. So for example, last time I saw about 70% of city administrators or city managers have come up through financial management or had previously been a finance director. Then there's about 5% that come from other things. And then the other 20 to 25% or so come usually from a planning and city administration background. So those are the top three kind of typical ways. So as the mayor is saying, if you throw a wide net, I mean, you can recruit for a financial manager and say, I want a finance director / city administrator, period. That's all we're looking for. My recommendation was, why don't you throw a wider net to see what other types of combinations could be out there, just because it is a small market and you just might not want to,
limit yourself.
Exactly. So it sounds to me like the council's kind of leaning towards the opportunity, understanding that the opportunity cost of their set of skills would be to reduce other costs in other areas, because they are going to be responsible.
Change the buckets, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or at the same time, if you don't find someone that's a good fit for the city, don't hire anyone. And you have to rethink it.
Well, we're really looking at, we're also on top of that, because we're out here, we're looking at distance,
mm-hmm.
skill set,
mm-hmm.
and cost, right? So, once you say we got to pass the net, we'd love to hey, these are the top three things we want.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking,
we got to allow for that too and see what applicants are willing to
pay. Floats up,
the
apple.
So speaking of cost then, and this is no reflection on Petra, but she came in at probably a reduced fee than she was probably looking for in the first place. And so many others were at a much higher rate of fee, from what I understand. Wouldn't this person who has all these qualifications cost even more than, say, what we would be paying a city recorder or Petra at this point? Wouldn't it be a substantial burden on the city?
Potentially, but she made a point earlier that there could be a person out there or several people out there, right, that may have, they're coming up. So this may be their first city run as a city administrator. I mean, that's wild in a dream world. We want somebody with a lot of experience.
Right.
Can we afford 115 or 120,000 a year?
Like picking an attorney who just came out of this college course and just got his water.
And like she said, a city recorder it's kind of narrowed in. So they're going to come in under the auspice of I'm a city recorder, I'm supposed to be doing this, but we also want you to do these other four hats.
Right.
So we're trying to see if we can go with the city administrator,
see
if we can get somebody here. And it's kind of, it's we're rolling dice to some extent, but on the other hand, we're also, even if it was a city recorder, we don't know what we're getting.
Sure.
We're way out here. We're not Sherwood or Tualatin. So
there's no harm in aiming high and expecting the best. And
so this is a first step to see if we can at least put it out there and see what we can start drawing.
Yes. Yeah. Understood.
Is what we're hoping
we need
for.
To start.
And with the budget and with the budget committee and all them, we'll have to negotiations. We're going to have to see what we can afford.
Yeah.
Budget committee.
Just like we were talking about earlier, going the city administrator route, but with that, during the recruitment, I think it's important we get community involved in the interview process, the staff involved. That way it's not just us making that decision. I want everybody's input when it comes down to it.
Yeah, when we come up with some good candidates,
mm-hmm.
it is, as suggested by Councillor Hedin, that we have them meet with the staff, get the staff's
mm-hmm.
input, and then have them meet with the community and get the community's input on their fit for the city. So it won't be something that we just, make a magic wand and wave and say, here they are, take it. We're not going to do that.
Well, I'd like Petra to stay.
And we've learned your name.
Councillor Ichari, Councillor Askey, any input?
Did we already talk about how soon this would be posted?
If we approve it tonight, it could be posted Monday. If we table it, then it would continue.
But to clarify on that, if we approve it tonight, what you said earlier was that we're doing interviews, so it's not.
Yeah, it's just starting the process.
So if we vote for it, we approve it, it's to begin the process. It doesn't mean that we're, okay, just to clarify.
Baby steps.
All right.
Everything's a process.
Everything's been said, Mayor, that, so I would just be repeating. Would you like a motion?
Yes, please.
I make a motion the city move forward with the recruitment process for city administrator.
I'll second it. McMullen, second.
And may I get a vote then?
Adine, aye.
Potter, aye.
Ichari, aye.
Ask it yet.
Excuse me, Councillor Askey, was that an aye?
Yes.
All right. Employment handbook draft, information for review only. We have reviewed it. There is a lot of questions. And so we won't be making any decisions tonight. This is just for a review. Is there anything that anybody wants to address tonight, or do we want to continue to submitting our recommendations for an updated draft? Yeah.
I feel like it's been discussed.
Say that again, Counselor.
I don't need any more discussion this evening.
I love that.
I don't mean it like that. Well, maybe a little.
So are you not wanting to discuss anything tonight? Are you wanting to make a decision on the draft or continue reviewing?
Continue reviewing.
I think we should continue to review. Then make recommendations as needed or suggestions as needed.
Can I get a motion on that?
I make a motion to continue reviewing the updated employee handbook update.
I second.
And a vote.
Hadeen, aye.
Potter, aye.
Askey, aye.
Ichari, aye.
All right. And payroll services, the potential of contracting a third party, which we've been talking about for some time. You want to update us on that process?
Yeah, I was so close. My apologies, but we did end up, after going through the request for qualifications process, we did not get any qualified candidates. So we started making direct solicitations, taking two approaches, one from the certified businesses that in the Better Business Bureau, as well as other cities and their experience. So Sharon made a number of calls, did a great job, and we had seven, eight comparables, maybe. And what I found in starting to talk to some of these folks is that it was a little bit of an apples to oranges because we were going through, the criteria that we put out in the RF, the request for proposals. So I'm still having conversations with folks to really identify the true lowest qualified bidder. But the bids overall look pretty great, as low as $70 to $90 a month after a migration fee. And so that's fantastic news overall, but I still haven't identified the actual contractor who I think is the lowest qualified bidder. So for you this evening, you have two choices. You can give me the authority to contract with under legal's contract with the payroll services when I identify that firm organization, or you can wait to approve a final contract next month.
Mm.
Can we clarify lowest qualified?
So in our list for, I wish I had it here, but for qualifications, there were maybe 20 different criteria that we put out to make sure that that they had the breadth, that they could do PERS, whether or not they were a certified payroll person, whether or not they had the depth to respond to questions that we had, you know, just a lot of those basic things. I'm happy to get anybody a copy of that criteria. It's just maybe 2 pages of very specific things that municipalities need that's a little bit different or the same as a private entity. And so we did find qualified bidders for sure. Now I'm just trying to look to make sure that, do you meet all 20 or do you meet 18 and you're $60 a month, or do you meet all 18 and you're $70 or $90 a month? Because nobody's bid was exactly the same since we had to use that other direct solicitation process. So it was
so the lowest qualified, I'm hearing you right, lowest qualified just means you're trying to get to the 20 point or the 20.
The lowest bidder that's qualified.
That's qualified.
Not the lowest qualified.
The closest
the
to the
lowest.
One, the 20.
Thank you. That's the right way of saying it. Yeah, the lowest bid, okay. Who is a qualified, who meets all of our criteria
yes.
To be qualified.
Okay, bring us back around to what you were saying for tonight.
So the two choices are, I can continue my discussions with, like, really it's down to 2 or 3. Of the few, or you guys can table this and approve the contract in next month's meeting. It's a difference of a month, and I know that
it's a month.
I know that this is something that's been a top priority for staff. That being said, either decision is
fine. In your request for these people. Have they said whether they are able to or willing to do audit of the payroll?
Yeah, that's a kind of secondary question.
Is it? Okay.
For the most part, no. Yeah.
Okay.
And
so we've got to do that separately then.
Yeah. And okay. Again, that's right. One thing I'm struggling with right now. But
at least we know what we need to do.
Right. Right. Yes.
Is that something that our current auditors could expand their auditing scope?
No, it's outside their.
That was just
plain. Because they've already audited it.
Well, they said probably a minimized scope. This would be a more expanded scope, but no.
Yeah.
Okay. No, it's a good question.
Yeah, but an outside point of view would be really what we'd be seeking. Okay. And from your notes, you you state that staff is currently spending about 30 hours a month processing payroll.
Well, that's
and
nice.
So
yeah.
Staff at 30
Whoa,
hours
that's
a month.
Savings of all
saving
kinds of money.
Why is it taking
what it's going to spend us, what it's going to spend.
I mean,
it's currently spending a year for a month. We're going to just spend in a year time frame. Quiet, please. Thank
I'm sorry.
You. So my point being, what we're spending now monthly, we will spend annually. So the $1,000 to $3,000 a month will now be $1,000 to $3,000 a year. So we're saving like 11 months of payroll expenses. It's a no-brainer for me.
Good question. There are still going to be some staff involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
About how much is that going to be?
I researched this. That for a business our size, that it should take 3 to 4 hours. So that means the people involved need to have someone to make sure that things are in properly, that you say, so-and-so get your timesheet in, and then there's usually an electronic checklist. So you'll have your supervisor sign it, and then the city administrator will sign it, and then it goes to payroll. So
they also will not do the PERS reporting that we're required to do, which is intensive.
Yeah, there's some annual reports that
those are
financial entities are responsible for that are unique to municipalities, like she said, PERS.
Those are per pay period, and we're twice a month. So that wouldn't be annually, it'd be twice a month.
Yeah.
Is that where a lot of the hours are eaten up?
It's the process is
extremely manual, and it leaves a lot of opens for somebody to accidentally put in the wrong figure or something like that. So there's a lot of leave time tracking, workman's comp hours, reviewing time sheets, and then doing all the stuff for PERS, which is pretty manual as well. We've had several changes in payroll that you have to add more entries in PERS. So there's, and then you've got your quarterly tax reports.
I'm just trying to figure out where the 30 hours comes from.
I'll send you, I expanded my job description to include all the job duties, and I can send that to you, and it encompasses, it's about that long.
Yeah.
It was a manual process that somebody else had created, and it's hard to recreate.
No, I was just curious. I've over like 20 employees at our company, and it takes like 6 hours. So I don't know how 11 takes 30 hours, but sorry.
So we'll save money is bottom line.
So table it or for a final contract next month, or what was tonight's?
Or you can give me the authority to contract with the lowest cost.
I would prefer to review the contract.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait. I want to get it done soon, but yeah, I need to review.
I know time would be great, but we want to make sure we're doing it right.
Also hold a special meeting as soon as things were ready.
Of course.
Anytime.
Okay. So can I get a motion then, please?
Was that a motion to table the contract for review of the final contract, but to hold a special meeting if it comes in sooner, potentially?
You don't need to include that in a motion. Table for final contract review, but not that we will hold a special session. You don't have to include.
Yeah. Make a motion to table for final contract review.
A second.
May I get a vote, please?
McClellan, aye.
Hazine, aye.
Potter, aye.
Askey, aye.
Jerry, aye.
Hey, I look forward to seeing that. We've been waiting a while now. All right. Before we move on to the consent agenda, I added something last minute, and my apologies. The water systems, it's been requested for a public tour of the water systems, and I would like some recommendations or suggestions or thoughts on whether we should provide that to the community. Do we want to provide it to publicly for all the community, which we wouldn't, and then dates that might be available, and how we might want to structure that, a timeline. I'm thinking maybe 2 hours on a Friday afternoon, setting up an opportunity for touring. Obviously we would work with Jason to make that work on his timeline best of all. Is that,
it's good,
what are your thoughts on making that happen?
It's a community. I don't know if people, is Friday good?
I don't know, but we have to kind of do what's on Jason's, what's best for his timeline, because he's the one doing the work. So
I think it would be very informational and educational for the public. My concern is it's going to be a huge social media opportunity, and I'm bothered by that.
Everything is okay. It would probably be on social media, and it would be a social media opportunity. Are you concerned about the volume of people that would show up? Are you concerned about the talk?
I'm concerned about the negativity, because I believe that positivity creates positivity and negativity creates negativity, and we've got enough of that. And I'm over it. I like the positive energy that I see in parts of our city, but there's not enough of it. So that's my concern. It's going to be not positive. We all know what the systems are like. You know, it's important that the public sees them because we know that they're antiquated and we know all that. But when that's presented in a negative light, then not only are they old, it's bad. And it's, I don't know. Sorry, I'm just old school. It's not appropriate, so I don't want it to happen.
Are you thinking it would open the city up for negativity?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And we want to, well, first of all, we want to protect our staff from being verbally mistreated, obviously.
Sorry.
And that is a potential.
I mean, Jason can weigh in, but I would think maybe that if he wants to do this, there'd be a set number of people that could come the first time and as an interaction, because he doesn't need to outweigh himself with a ton of people. And I agree with Kay with the negativity. At this point, we're already reacting to years of catching up and neglect. So to be negative is not going to help anything. We're trying to bring this back up to the future and get things working. We already know that's antiquated.
We know that.
So people that are complaining about that, that's they're stuck in the past already. Like we're up here, we're trying to change all that. So I think the opportunity would be how many Jason can handle at one time, taking out there or wherever he's going to see this and making that a trial run. If it's a huge negative event, then he doesn't have to do it again. I wouldn't want to either if I was just got a bunch of negative.
Right, and put a time limit on it. His time is valuable. It's not part of his job. Maybe it would serve us best to put a video on the website. Somebody who can do a, you know, a great film and show the stuff, you know, that we're concerned about as well. I'm not trying to communicate that we have anything to hide. We do not have anything to hide. We're doing the best we can with what we have, and go Yamhill. And I really mean that. But when that gets twisted and becomes negative, that therein lies the problem for me. So maybe a video would work, Tim.
Yeah.
Just saying, Tim.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I'll just speak to Andrew. I appreciate what he has to say, because first and foremost, I think we have nothing to hide up there. We would love to have smaller groups go up there. With Kyle's time and my time, you know, pretty limited, Fridays would work. We're both available then. And, you know, I think the exposure sometimes would be good. I think it'd be an educational piece for most folks. So I'm open to the idea, but in a kind of in a controlled atmosphere.
So education and information is really what we as a city are intending to provide. Mm-hmm. Do you think 2 hours would be long enough, or would you just do the water treatment, or would you do the full water system, Jason?
No, I think just educating people on where their water is coming from, you know, such as the impoundment, the creek, and the water plant, would probably be enough education for an individual to take home and kind of share with other people in the public.
And do you think 2 hours on a Friday afternoon would be appropriate?
I do, you know, and we could always expand on that if the questions are relatively permanent to what we're discussing and, you know, what our plans are and how operations work.
Thank you. And Water Advisory Committee Chairperson Brian?
I just throw out, I think Kay's right on the money, doing the video, putting it out in an educational. The other thing I would look at is liability to the city, having people walk around the water plant, going down to the intake. It's all gravel, it's steep.
Sign a waiver.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of issues that I think the video, doing a good video and explaining and being able to put that up on the website, you get out to everybody. Everybody has access. And then it's the same message to everybody.
Yeah.
That way, if you do groups, you know, maybe one group got a little different message. And
how about movie night? There you go. You want to go?
Thanks. I like it.
So that way, you're getting the same message to everybody. Can't say that this group got maybe a little different message or intake from the other group. It's equal.
Would you be interested in supporting that effort to create a video?
I would be happy to take it back to the Water Advisory Committee and get their input.
Wesley might be.
Wesley's always volunteering with the city.
Well, but Wesley's working on videography at college, so maybe it would be something that he can come back to.
And he can give it and get credit for it.
College, you don't really get to, but I mean, you get to utilize the things that you learn, so possibly, but maybe that would be something. And he's a very positive character, too. Maybe
he is a very positive character. Yeah. It's a great way to describe
it. If not, then please invite me to those field trips, and I may get positive experience in an educational
way. Share that with him and ask him what he thinks about that, and then share that with Jason and Brian, and we can maybe utilize that opportunity. So that's what I'm hearing, is that we're okay with moving forward with the video and doing that first. And then if there's then additional information and educating that needs to be done, maybe then provide an opportunity for tours.
Yes.
Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Is this something we need to vote on?
No.
Okay. So.
Good idea.
Yay.
So Jason and Brian, can you let us know how that's going next month?
Yeah.
Yes.
Jason and the Water Advisory Board.
Excellent.
Game plan, so.
Excellent. Thank you very much for taking that on. That's a big deal. And so, Mr. Davis, does that answer your question?
Pardon me. Our group would be small.
Well, if we open it up to your group only,
yes,
that's
what I thought our original conversation.
It has to be open up to all of the public.
So, but YNA would like to tour the water plant for educational purposes, not for purposes of slander or any opportunity to degrade the. We're all working together here to make this a better town and to move forward and to look at the resources that we have. YNA cannot guesstimate by looking at a video how far up the hill it would be to, let's say, Barney Reservoir, or to guesstimate how deep the inbound yard is currently and how much silt is in there. But looking at it firsthand is a definite education. And if you needed us to sign a waiver to prevent the slippage in gravel to keep from falling in the pits, that would be fine. But knowledge is power. And seeing it on a video, it would have to be an extremely well-documented video for us to really get a good grasp as to what we'd be looking at. So that's just my opinion from YNA, and we will just move forward with whatever you decide.
Well, I appreciate your thoughts on that.
Yes.
We will provide the video. If after the video you still feel like you need additional information or education, then we'll readdress it at that time.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
Fair enough.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
All right, consent agenda. Can I get a motion, please?
Did you get a motion, Mayor?
No, ma'am.
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda. Ichari.
A second? I'll second. Can I get a vote, please?
Ichari, aye.
Askey, aye.
Hadeen, aye.
Potter, aye.
McMullen, aye.
Thank you. All right. Department reports. Ms. Petra Sheets, you're up.
Well, I did have a written report here for you. In the packet that was posted, the last page of the report was missing, so well, council hasn't updated. If there's anyone interested in that audience, you're welcome to that. One thing I want to make sure to remind you all of is that the SEI reporting is due on April 15th. We've gotten the receipts for two folks, I think. So I want those leads too.
I passed my test. Is that it?
Yeah, happy to answer any questions you might have.
The budget committee, when are they going to start convening?
It's the need to post those. It's the third, no, the second, no, the third week, Monday in May, and the second Monday in June. With enough space in between to have a 1.5 meeting, or you can have a second meeting in between those because there's enough time to do that if you need to.
Third Monday in May and what?
And second Monday in June.
I heard the second Monday in June will not work for me. I have prior commitments that night.
Okay.
That's fire board meeting on the second Monday.
Okay. Okay. So we probably need to move, that's going to squeeze things a little bit, but we can move that back to the first Monday in June. Probably not the third in case there's issues.
Can we add a third somewhere in there?
Yes.
I think we're going to need it.
Okay.
We have lots of questions.
Okay. Doesn't council need to approve it before July? So we can. No, you can have a special meeting at the end if you need to. So
okay.
Yeah. So do you want me to send out a doodle poll for alternative dates or?
No, if there's dates that you know are specific that fit in the city timeline, then we'll go with those.
It just it needs to be adopted by the end of June. So you probably want to give yourself a little, at least a couple weeks before in case there's an issue. But we can even back it up to the second week in May if you'd like. But traditionally, from what I've seen, that this committee meets on Monday evenings at 6:30.
Traditionally. So we have two dates for sure, the third Monday and the first Monday, third Monday May, first Monday of June. We'll add another date in there and we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, you can squeeze it in between those two.
I'll let you check the calendar and get back to us on it.
Okay.
And those will both be at 6:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. Okay, good, thank you. And the Water Town Hall, we wanted to try and get that done before summertime. Do you know how that's going?
I haven't tried to determine the date. So I'm happy to send out a doodle poll on what might work for city council.
Okay.
Work with any other stakeholders on what the content of that might be.
And please include the Water Advisory Committee in that.
Question? In that town hall be after we get the ordinances approved, so that can be part of your town.
Oh, great idea. All inclusive, I like it. So Water Town Hall after, what is it, we're approving codes?
Right, so
municipal codes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So,
yeah. You might want to add a town hall planning session to the agenda that's coming up. We're going to have a special meeting.
Mm-hmm. So what's going to be covered in the town hall? What's this?
My hope for it, and Jason and Brian may have different thoughts on it. My hope is that we can kind of explain to the community where we were, what happened, where we're at, and where we're going. And so we as a community can kind of see a timeline of progression of what the city and community has been doing to change the water situation from what it was to what it is in the future. Make sense?
things worked out if we could have maybe a video done.
So let's plan it maybe sometime in the beginning of July, because that'd be after budget season. And it would give some good quality time maybe for potentially Wesley to take Wesley's back next month.
Yeah. Get some video. We can probably get some drone video also to add to that.
I'd like to do it before the heat of the summer.
Yeah. Maybe shoot for the first part of March.
If you can. Yeah.
Well, the Water Advisor is tentatively looking at May 2nd as a special meeting to review the ordinance.
Okay.
That would be a Monday, so that we could get that done, any changes made, so it could be out in the packet a week ahead of the council meeting.
So if May 2nd is a Monday, what's the, oh, that's not the third Monday. Never mind. I was thinking it was the third on a Monday, but it's the third Monday. Never mind. Okay. So May 2nd is the Water Advisory, tentatively. Okay. I'll put that tentatively. Okay. So potentially June for the town hall. Excellent.
That's mine. Sorry.
Is it a ring?
Yeah.
I don't.
How about
for a porch?
Including in that town hall with a good dose of budget. Because when I ran the numbers on the water and the sewer, this out of this statement, roughly the sewer has about $260,000 balance. The water had a $404 negative balance, which says it's out of money right now. Can you?
So my understanding is at the beginning of this fiscal year, there is an interfund transfers that will be reconciled and balanced at the end of this fiscal year. I don't remember, I haven't looked at like the ledgers or anything to see what the purpose of that was.
Well, we haven't added the ARPA funds in there either, and that's like $200,000.
That's another.
So add $200,000 to that budget that hasn't been updated yet in the budget.
Yeah, so where to put the ARPA funds will be part of the budget process.
Okay, so we still have 3 months going through to the end of the fiscal year. So, and there's going to be ongoing costs. I realize there's about $35,000 a month coming in user fees. But is that going to be enough to cover all the costs, the wages, and daily upkeep costs to keep the water plant solvent?
The water plant will be fine. Okay. I can guarantee you that. Balancing this year's budget after the first 6 months of spending has been my number one challenge. So still plan to find solutions to accomplish that before the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Yeah. And good luck.
And thank you. Use a little. Yeah.
We take donations.
Yeah. It, there's no legal alternative not to. So we'll find a way one way or the other.
So does council have any questions on the city report?
Nope.
And Public Works, Jason, do you have any input that you would like to provide?
I just have one thing to say in regards to the city park, Beulah. I'm just asking for people to start cleaning up after their dogs, because we do have a lot of events going on up there, and it's pretty bad. So just a reminder out to the public, and that's all I have.
Did you put a doggy bag dispenser up there?
Yeah, yeah, we have multiple.
Yep.
We have multiple?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Bags in them?
Is there bags in them?
They're always been for me.
Okay. They've always been full when I've been there.
It's just rude people.
Yeah, rude people.
I want to thank Jason for getting the stop signs up on Elm Street just after I complained about it, but they're there and he put them up great, and I love them, and most people stop. There's A few that don't.
You're welcome.
Our law enforcement has been hanging out around there to educate people mm-hmm. on the new
signs. That's what that red thing is. Yeah. It says stop.
We need another video.
Yeah, they need a video.
Yeah.
But thank you, Jason and
Council. Oh, you're welcome. You're definitely welcome.
And Chief Graven, do you have any input?
I do not.
I have no comments. Announcements. Statement of Economic Interest, SEI. You mentioned that they're due the 15th, which is Friday. So all council members need to complete that. And if anybody needs any information on what that is and how to make it happen, contact City Hall. City Council Goal Setting Retreat, April 23rd at 10 a.m. I'm looking forward to that. And upcoming topics, Resolution 794 of the Employee Handbook for 2022, Organizational Development Report, City Council Goals for Fiscal Year 23, and Resolution 795, City Council Code of Conduct. I'm looking forward to that one. And that is all the announcements. Is there anything else council has at this time that they would like to present, question, ask, provide?
And just to add to the upcoming events that we didn't mention earlier, we have Derby Day kickoff breakfast June 12th, and then National Night Out is August 2nd, I believe.
Night Out.
Yes, August 2nd. So those events are coming up as well.
And is there any volunteers needed for any of those events?
I don't know. Either.
They all of them, right? Okay.
I tried to turn it on. I'm sorry.
Councilor Ichari, anything before we adjourn?
No, thank you. Would you like a motion?
Yeah. Councilor Askew, do you have anything before we adjourn? Yeah.
Nothing for me, thanks.
I have one more thought, if you don't mind. I just was at a Derby Day meeting, and one of the topics were the plumbing mm-hmm. for the bathroom. There was a fellow who traced the line out 100 feet and found a blockage.
Yes, we're going to be having that removed next week.
So you're already on top of it for Derby Days?
Yes.
Cool. Thank you so much, because we were all worried that the porta potties wouldn't be enough.
No, Jason said to me a month ago, and he's been working on getting somebody contracted out to take care of that. Because it's a pretty severe blockage.
Yes, yes, yes. That's what I understand.
Thank you, Jason, for taking care of that.
You're welcome.
Yes, please.
For either the public hearing that we're going to have and or next city council or some point, I know Chief or, well, the water committee has already like got on stuff and they're putting it out there as what they're doing and what's going on. I would love to hear more goal settings coming from budget committee and planning committees. And I'm not talking about generic stuff from around the town. I'm talking like actual viable, like what are we planning in the next 6 months, year, 3 years coming out of them and with the finances and with planning committee of the city. I think it would be really helpful, and talking to people around town, they're kind of curious too. So
that's a great idea.
I think it's be nice to know what they're producing.
So we as a council are requesting that the Water Advisory Committee and the Planning Committee provide.
Yeah.
You are.
Yeah.
and budget committee.
So budget committee. Yeah. I mean, water. It sounds like water's trying to put something out there, like what they're doing, what's going. Chief or he already mentioned like what they're going to be doing, progressing forward, and what's going on. So I'd like to hear the same thing coming from the budget committee, where we're at, where the budget's looking at, where it's looking forward to, what's their plans in the next. You know, I mean, I don't know what's normal 6 year, 3 years, and then the same thing with the planning committee. I don't even know what they've produced yet. So I'm kind of curious, besides some of the stuff I've read about, like signs and stuff. I mean, actual viable, like city stuff, like what are the plans?
Where are they going?
Yeah, where are they going? What's a plan so far? Because I haven't seen anything in any time related to any of that stuff. That's all.
So will you request the city-sponsored committees to provide their goals and plans for at least the next fiscal year and beyond if they have that?
Yeah, I'm not asking for like super solid stuff. I mean, like if they've come up with stuff, they have ideas, or they're projecting stuff for even, you know, putting stuff in town or doing, you know what I mean?
Like, they'd like to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe their meeting is next Wednesday at 7 p.m. So we can add that. The packet has gone out for next week, but we'll make sure that they're aware.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, anything else? Councilor Ichari, give it to me.
Make a motion, we adjourn.
We are adjourned.
Remember the flag.
That's why I wanted to
know. Is there nobody to take authority over this property?
Just. Sir?